Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, happy Friday and happy 4th of July. We are a day away from Independence Day here in the United States of America, and glad that you are with us as we wrap up the week and send you into a holiday weekend, which for many of you, I believe, began when you got off work yesterday. So congratulations on that. Don't forget, we do this show each weekday live at 11 o'clock. And if you ever miss the live show, you can always find us as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report. We're also available on SoundCloud as well. And no matter how you're with us today, we're glad you're with us. We talk IU basketball, IU football, and of course, love to talk sports from a Southern Indiana perspective here on the program as well. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we always start with our Zaxby's headlines. It's the big news in IU basketball, football, and Southern Indiana sports for the day. We'll cover that here in just a moment, including an announcement that came out this morning from IU that they are moving to phase two of their Restart to Athletics plan, which is good news. And we thought that that would happen. And I know everybody's like, okay, Indiana's moving to phase two. The state government's in phase 4.5, all sorts of phases and requirements and stages and levels and things that we're trying to pay attention to as we watch how this virus is affecting so many things that we love, including sports. But I think we expected Indiana to move forward with their return to athletics plan because a week ago we heard that of all 180-something athletes, coaches, staff, etc., that had been tested returning for these workouts, there were no positive cases. In fact, I'm also going to talk in the headlines today about how the Big Ten, from what I know, from what we can find out, there's not every school releasing all the details, seems to be one of the, we'll call it one of the healthier conferences, and let's hope that that continues into fall sports and obviously beyond. And there's some big recruiting news, a couple more scholarship offers out yesterday, like, and this is not unique to the Indiana coaching staff by any means, but there is a lot of recruiting going on right now, a lot of scholarship offers going out, a lot of activity, even though kids can't be on campus and coaches can't go see kids and there's no evaluation periods. Lots of recruiting because coaches are pretty limited in what they can do right now. And in fact, players pretty limited. Yes, there are some AAU games starting, but nothing like what normally would be going on this time of year. It gets very hectic as you go from June into the month of July. Also, in the headlines today, we'll cover just some virus updates as we look across the Big Ten and some other college campuses as well, and catch you up on that in segment number one. Later in the show, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, he joins us in segment two as we'll take a look at IU, Big Ten football, college football as a whole, and does it look to Matt like across the Big Ten and across college football we are moving forward? I think that answer is yes, but you just never know with this virus in the background. In fact, in some states, it's not just in the background. It's in the forefront. And so we'll talk all of that and more with Matt. Also with Matt, I want to get back to Fred Glass, who officially retired earlier this week. We've talked a lot about how Fred will be judged even after he leaves, depending on the success or lack thereof of Archie Miller getting to the NCAA tournament, increasing the win totals and things like that in future years. And just because that's obviously his major hire, his last hire as well. Football, he's done a lot for. And I think with football, if you just were scoring Fred Glass with football right now, his score probably higher than what maybe some people give him as across the board with basketball. Kind of, I don't want to say being in limbo right now, but you're still waiting for some of those proven metrics like NCAA tournaments and more wins and other things to hopefully continue for Archie Miller. So we'll cover that more with Matt Weaver. Later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join. Yes, we're talking about the return of high school sports next week with workouts. We're talking about fall sports. I saw that the governor in the state of Michigan is basically, I don't think mandating, I'm not sure that they could, but is requesting, suggesting, pushing for high school football to be delayed to the spring in the state of Michigan. And we'll talk, would that ever be a possibility in Indiana? I've not heard any rumors of that in Indiana. I've not talked with any coaches or athletic directors that have said they think spring football is a possibility or is a good thing for football in our state, even if it's just temporarily for 1 year. There have been some rumors about it in Kentucky. I'm not sure that it's got any legs to move forward and actually happen. But again, if we do get to a point where for some reason seasons have to be canceled, like spring sports were, you wonder if they would bump it back to the spring in this 1 year. So we'll talk about some crazy things, situations like that, that this virus in sports is forcing us to think about with Kyle Neddenrip when he joins us later in the program. Also, Kyle's been out at some of these early AAU tournaments and games and scrimmages that are going on as there are some things in Indianapolis and other places starting to go. Crowds are limited. There's some special requirements and face masks and things like that you got to do to get in if you're a parent, limited attendance. But Kyle has been there. He's talked to some players. He's seen Trey Kaufman play last week, wrote a story earlier this week on Trey Kaufman and some of the other key players in the state, including a number of IU targets. And so we'll talk with Kyle about all that as well when he joins us later in the show today. That is the show lineup. It's a service of Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out Honeybaked Ham's store and all the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. Don't forget you can dine in, pick up, and curbside service. It's still available at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Released this morning, about an hour ago from Indiana, that based on the Athletics Medical Advisory Group Phase 2 restart plan, IU is continuing the process of returning groups of its students who compete in intercollegiate athletics to campus for voluntary workouts is how the release begins. Basically, it says the changes from Phase 1 to Phase 2 on the campus right now are an expansion of available facilities accompanied by cleaning protocols for those facilities, an increase in the number of participants who can participate in a space at one time, the ability for football players to pass the ball to other members in their cohort while still abiding by physical distancing guidelines, and, quote, grab-and-go, end quote, food service availability for students at the Tobias Nutrition Center. So doesn't sound like anything earth-shattering, but when you're thinking about football, whose season is not far away, and you're talking about now football players have the ability, quarterbacks have the ability to pass the ball to other members in the small group that they've been working out with in these voluntary workouts, pretty big deal. Because social distancing workouts, spacing of 6 feet in most every situation, that's what's been going on in most of these workouts as well. A lot of questions from people. I don't know yet if the basketball guys have been able to do any basketball stuff. No mention in this release about Phase 2 either. If for basketball it goes from just working out, weight, strength and conditioning, physical fitness to basketball-specific stuff on the court or not. The only thing that would maybe make you think that it's possible is it says an expansion of available facilities, and our understanding, at least the IU experts so-called that we have on our program each day, they did not think that basketball, as far as on-the-court stuff, could start in this first phase. So maybe now they're getting at least closer, or maybe they are able to do some basketball stuff. We'll see what we can find out. Also, some big recruiting news, and this has been pretty consistent here for the last couple weeks. New names to tell you about each day and some new scholarship offers today. The first is a class of 2021 player from Wisconsin, so a senior for next year in high school basketball. He attends Milwaukee Nicolet High School, and his name is James Graham. He's a forward. He's 6'8", ranked number 56 nationally in the latest 247 sports rankings, and he got a scholarship offer from Indiana and Archie Miller yesterday. He's got a ton of scholarship offers. He was very good in the spring, and that's when a lot of the offers came in. I think his coaches really evaluated what he was able to accomplish in the high school season and some of his film. But Florida State, Maryland, Vanderbilt, Michigan State, Arizona State, Auburn, Butler, Cincinnati, Georgia, Georgetown, DePaul, Iowa, Memphis, Marquette, Missouri, Oregon, Xavier, Rutgers, and Wake Forest. That's a heck of a list of schools that he's got on his list, and many of those have offered scholarships at this point. Also, another name, this is a 2022 player, a guard named Justice Williams, and he is someone that is on the national scene in a big way. He attends the big powerhouse Montverde Academy down in Florida, in Montverde, Florida, that basically plays a national prep schedule, and he'll be obviously a junior when school resumes for this coming season, for this coming year, later this summer or into the fall, depending on the school. But another name on the 2022 list, and it's an out-of-state name, a couple out-of-state names today, as it's interesting to see Indiana really increasing their footprint from North Dakota to Wisconsin to Florida to up east. There are a number of different players in the 2021 and 2022 classes that Indiana is involved with at a pretty serious level from out of the state. And, of course, still at the top of the list, no question about it, Trey Kaufman, right here in our state, right here in our backyard in southern Indiana. He remains Indiana's biggest recruiting target. There is absolutely no question about that. Couple health notes going around the Big Ten Conference. Minnesota yesterday announced that 7 athletes have tested positive for COVID-19 thus far. They did not give sports or names or anything like that other than saying it was in multiple sports. There are about 170 administered tests so far, so 7 of 170. Again, Indiana was 0 test of 180-something when they reported in last week. Also, Iowa, they're really, and again, not every Big Ten school is releasing updates or has said anything about the coronavirus and its potential effect on athletes, but Iowa's kind of the hot spot of the Big Ten as far as the coronavirus. They're the ones that have had a number of cases, especially last week. It was not a good week for athletes returning as far as the virus goes. But other than that, what I've seen, it's not been horrific at most of these campuses. Indiana was a 0, I mentioned that. And then as of June 30th, Penn State issued a release that said they've given 102 tests for COVID-19 among student-athletes, and there have been no positive tests. So you can put Indiana and Penn State in the category for sure, at least as of these releases, no positive tests, which I think is a really good thing for the sport of football and fall sports specifically. Also, from an NBA perspective, the NBA said yesterday that they have tested 351 players, and 25 of the 351 have tested positive for the coronavirus. They also say that 10 staff members out of 884 tested returned positive. So there are some positives, as expected, coming back before players and coaches and staff enter the bubble in Orlando. Speaking of entering the bubble, I was looking at some of the teams that have released their rosters. I forget if it's a 40-man roster. That includes your players. That includes your doctors. That includes your trainers. That includes your head coach. That includes assistant coaches. And so what's happening because of a limited roster in this bubble, a lot of teams are having to decide, do we take more team health personnel, more team doctors, more team trainers with us in the bubble? Do we leave some assistant coaches at home? And I'm sure that even at home, some assistant coaches, you've got so many in the NBA, you've got a front row and a second row, really, of assistant coaches. Some will do scouting, some will do video work, some will do player breakdowns and player development stuff, I'm sure, which can be done somewhat remotely by Zoom and other things. But that's a tough deal if you're on a staff and you're an assistant coach, especially a front row assistant, and you don't get to go. And there are going to be some key people for some of these NBA franchises that are left out that, you know, have always been a part of it. So some big decisions being made there as players return or get ready to return to the NBA in Orlando. Also a note on Thomas Bryant, the stress fracture in his foot. He said yesterday, fully healed 100%, and he will be on the court with his team when they arrive in Orlando for the restart of the NBA season. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Just a note, if you like high school basketball, I mentioned this yesterday, our Indiana High School Hoops podcast with Dennison and May. We talked to coaches from all over the state of Indiana. I think we're on episode 18 now. We've had some of the great active coaches in our state from north to south. But our most recent episode, Todd Sturgeon, the coach at Floyd Central, and you can find that if you follow me on social media, at Hoosier Hills. A great sit-down interview with Coach Sturgeon about his great history as a college coach and how he got involved in the Floyd Central job and a lot more. Stay with us. We'll be back. Matt Weaver, Peaks.com, IU Football. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Friday program. Matt Weaver of Pigs.com joins us. He's the football specialist for Pigs, and we talk IU football when Matt is with us here on the Hoosier Report. Matt, before we dive into some real football topics for this offseason, and we hope the upcoming season, we had some talk this week on the program about Fred Glass and his official retirement from the athletic director post earlier this week, and of course Scott Dolson now takes over that position. Lots of talk, Matt, about Mr. Glass being fully judged and graded maybe in his job as athletic director once we know what Archie Miller and his staff are going to do and where they are going to lead the men's basketball program, as that kind of hangs in the balance right now, especially after the NCAA tournament was canceled due to the pandemic back in March. But I'm curious, from a football perspective, how do you grade Fred Glass, and what type of athletic director was he as far as moving the football program forward?
I would give him a pretty solid grade as far as it, you know, when it comes from the football perspective. I mean, you know, obviously, excuse me, he made two major decisions, or I guess, well, really three, you know, dismissing Bill Lynch and then hiring Kevin Wilson, and then, you know, dismissing Kevin Wilson a few years, or, well, I guess about 6 years later, and you know, naming Tom Allen the replacement head coach. You know, I think even though the Kevin Wilson thing obviously didn't turn out at the end like they had hoped, I thought he was the right hire at the time. They kind of needed a guy who came in with a no-nonsense type of attitude, and that was definitely Kevin Wilson, to kind of, you know, change things in the football program. And then just like I think Tom Allen was probably the perfect hire after Kevin Wilson, you know, a disciplinarian still, but does it in a different way. But I think overall, I mean, you know, you look at the football program, you know, it's not been wildly successful, but it's definitely taken strides from the time, you know, when Fred Glass came in till now. It has definitely made strides. Facilities are obviously much improved. The product on the field, everything, the support, the pay for the coaches, the head coach. I mean, Indiana has the third highest paid strength coach in the country, you know, which I know a lot of people think, well, strength coach, but that's a very important position, and it shows the commitment. The assistants are getting paid more. Kalen DeBoer was basically almost at $1 million as an offensive coordinator, close to it, $800,000. And, he's definitely made it more of a priority. I think there's still gains to be made there, but they're definitely on the right track. And for the first time and really forever, Indiana football has become more of a priority for the administration and for the school.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, on Fred Glass, who retired from the athletic director spot earlier this week. That's good stuff, Matt. Also, tell us about phase two. There was a release earlier this morning that Indiana moving its return to athletics to phase two because everything went well in phase one. We know at least of early last week there have been no coronavirus cases with athletes or student athletes, coaches and staff related to the voluntary workouts going on at that time. And now it seems like a slight step forward. And really, I guess it's crazy as it sounds, the fact that in phase two, the quarterback can throw to his teammates and teammates can throw the football to each other, which sounds so very basic and so very elementary. When you think about where we're at in this pandemic and health precautions and social distancing, that is a pretty big step forward that now the quarterback can launch the ball down the field and start to train their arm and get prepared for the upcoming season, which that's a big part of being a quarterback and a big part of the game of football.
Yeah, I saw that. I noticed that too. I think, you know, one thing with phase two, more sports can start to, you know, kind of get back in the flow of working out and doing things. Obviously, there's still, you know, quite a bit of restrictions in how they do things, but I think they're starting to open up a little bit more. They can have more, you know, more athletes working out. Maybe I think at the same time, things like that. You know, the quarterback deal, that was kind of interesting. I'm wondering, I don't, you know, I would guess this is probably the case for other schools. Maybe it had a similar policy. This probably obviously means in Indiana facilities. My guess is, were these guys going to, you know, local fields and parks or high schools to get some throwing in since they came back to campus? I don't know. My guess is they probably did. But, you know, I would, this obviously applies to, you know, when it comes to using IU facilities and stuff. So, you know, hopefully we can keep on this track. Hopefully we head towards, you know, playing football this fall and other sports. And it's going to obviously look different if they do play. And the hope is they will, and I'm optimistic about it. But, you know, it's kind of like baby steps is really what it is right now. But, you know, any kind of step forward to me is definitely a good sign.
Matt, what are you hearing as far as these voluntary workouts that have went on to this point? I know they're going to change a little bit now with phase two starting on the campus. But what are you hearing about workouts, anything from a football perspective or any good notes to pass along you're hearing about the team, or do you know what they've been up to as far as activities?
Yeah, not a ton. I know that they broke them down into groups. You know, I mean, back when they first opened, they announced the policies, it was you could have 20 players in the weight room, 10 on each side. The weight room is big enough where you can split them up, and in that 20, that includes coaches. So you have like 8 players on each side, and you could have a couple coaches with each group. I have not heard a ton about how the workouts are going. I mean, I know Indiana came out and said they had no positive COVID-19, test, which is a great sign. Hopefully that continues. As far as I know, the workouts are going well. I don't think coaches are allowed back in until next week. Early next week, I believe, is when they're allowed to come back. The coaching staff, they've been away. It's really only been strength coaches, and I'm guessing they probably had trainers, you know, because obviously if you're working out and somebody gets injured, you'd have a trainer. But I think it's only been people like that, what you probably call essential personnel when it comes to workouts. And the coaches will be back next week. So, you know, there hasn't been a lot of media availability from IU in the last few weeks. I would assume that'll probably change here pretty soon as we get more into July. And obviously, you know, with the new plan, the 6-week plan, where you can have kind of like NFL OTAs for a couple weeks in July before you start fall camp, I would assume we'll probably start getting some, media availability with either Coach Allen or some of the assistants or maybe some of the players to kind of see where things are at. But it's been kind of quiet the last few weeks, and it'll be interesting to see what we hear in the upcoming days and weeks.
Matt Weaver with Pigs.com. You can read all of Matt's football coverage of IU on the Pigs.com website. I want to take a look at recruiting. Obviously, there have been some great momentum. We've talked about some of the commitments, especially the in-state commitments here on this program. It sounds like now Indiana focusing also on some out-of-state players as well, even down south into Florida, which that's always normally a good sign.
Yeah, their last commitment last week, the guy, Aubrey Burks from out of Auburndale, which is kind of in Central Florida, kind of in between Orlando and Tampa. He's a guy, what is he, about 6'1 or so. They recruited him to play Husky. He listed 6'1", 180, probably a little bit closer to 200. But to play that Husky position, the Marcelino Ball position, you know, that kind of fifth DB or kind of a hybrid safety linebacker. He plays actually linebacker for a school. Great instincts on film. A totally different player than Tywan Mullen, obviously, because Tywan Mullen's a cornerback. But the same kind of, when you watch him play, just the same kind of playmaking ability, the instincts, the ability to see a play happen before it actually happened. You know, he just kind of has that innate ability, real nose for the ball. So that was a heck of a pickup. And, you know, up to 10 commits. It's going to be a smaller class, as we've talked about in the past. You know, there some guys that are getting close. Josh Sale, the NCAA lineman from Brownsburg, who they really want to tackle. He's getting close to deciding, you know, could be by the end of the month, maybe first of August. Maurice Freeman, another DB safety out of Virginia, he's going to announce on August 1st, and Indiana's in great shape there. So they're in the mix for a couple more guys. You know, probably some guys will wait till this fall because, you know, right now it looks like there's going to be visits this fall. Well, you know, hopefully that's the case. And I think some guys want to take some visits before they make a decision, but it's going pretty well. I know you look at the rankings, I think they're 11th and 50-something, but you know, a lot of that's because of numbers. They don't have a ton of commits. Other schools have more. Their average ranking's pretty good. So I think they're doing pretty well in recruiting, and it'll be interesting to see what happens once the season starts and they get guys on campus.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, talking IU football here on the program. You know, I just realized this, but when it's 4th of July tomorrow and some fireworks start going off, we'll be officially exactly 2 months away from the season opener for IU football, September 4th, a Friday. The Hoosiers are scheduled to open at Wisconsin. I know a lot has to happen in a good way for this season to start and to start on time and for Indiana to be on the road for that opener on September 4th, but let's hope that it all comes together and that we're playing football on that Friday night. As much as I hate playing football, we've had this conversation, as I hate playing Big Ten football on Friday nights right there and smack dab in the middle of the start of the high school season as well. But let's for a moment act like it's coming up on us and IU-Wisconsin going to happen. Where do you see Wisconsin in the Big Ten this season? Give us a little, just a real thumbnail sketch maybe of what type of opponent they'll be to open IU's season.
Well, Wisconsin, I think, is probably going to be the favorite in the West. They return a lot on defense. I think they had a couple key guys that, you know, were, you know, exhausted eligibility, and I think one or two guys got drafted. Offensively is where they got to replace some guys, but they always seem to plug in, you know, it's linemen and running back. But they always seem to plug those guys in. They always seem to have a bunch of just, you know, hog mollies on the offensive line that are huge and, you know, just incredibly powerful. Then they always have to see that running back from New Jersey. You know, the last few years it's been Jonathan Taylor, and I'm sure there's going to be another guy that they can plug in, and they're going to do what they do. They run the ball, a little play action pass, play great defense. And, you know, it's going to be a tough game, but I think it's a good time to get Wisconsin. You know, early in the season, the past years, they've had a few hiccups or maybe not been as sharp as they normally are later in the year. And then with what's going on with everything being shut down for so long, it'll be really interesting to see how teams are that first week, who's rusty, who kind of gets back up to speed quicker. So, you know, it'll be a very good test for Indiana. It's going to be a tough game. Now, if there's not a whole lot of fans, that definitely changes the atmosphere, makes it a lot more sterile, obviously, if you don't have many people in the stands or none at all. So, but it's going to be a tough test. But, you know, this Indiana team I like. I think they got a chance to be pretty good. And we're going to find out how good that first week.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. We're talking IU football here on this Friday edition of the program. Matt, thank you for the chat. We know that things have looked different for IU football, just like basketball, but your coverage on the Pigs.com website continues. Appreciate you coming on to update us on a number of topics, and we'll do it again very soon.
Okay, guys, take care. Have a good week.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver with us as we talk some IU football here. Again, one day away from being exactly 2 months away from the start of the college football season, at least from an IU perspective, as Indiana is scheduled to play at Wisconsin. I know I mentioned this. This topic has come up a lot. I don't always give you a lot of personal opinions. I more so like to have great guests on our program to give the opinions and tell you what's going on. But one opinion that I have strongly is that high school football is on Friday nights. And high school football in Indiana is okay. There are some good crowds. There are some rivalry games where it just doesn't draw the fans like you'd like to see it or maybe like it used to. But across the country, of all high school sports, as far as attendance goes, I would guess that many states take their high school football pretty serious, as we know, especially some of the southern states and Florida and Texas and many others as well. And you just hate to see big conferences play football games on Friday night, not just for our state, but for prep football across the country. I know TV money, TV deals have forced the Thursday night games, which I love. And I think there's even some Wednesday night games for the mid-majors. And do your thing. Find something different. Embrace it. Find a way to get your league, you know, the credit, the promotion, the media coverage. That's all wonderful. No problem with some of that outside-the-box stuff. But when the power conferences and a school like Indiana is playing on Friday night and you've got all these great high school games and fans torn on what to do, and think about Ohio State or think about Michigan or think about Texas. You know, obviously, you know, the college is going to win out, but just disappointing. You hate to see something put on top of one night a week that high school football is played, at least here in our state. All right, we'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk about the return of high school sports. We'll talk about high school football. Could it be played in the spring? That's what Michigan's saying they're going to try to do, and other topics as well. Still ahead, this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment of the week before we send you into a holiday weekend as we all celebrate the 4th of July. Tomorrow, things will look different. A lot of the local fireworks displays and some concerts and things like that to typically go on here in Southern Indiana have been canceled by the various city governments and others, but it's still a great day to relax and celebrate the obvious history of our country. And we've got basketball tomorrow. Don't forget that. The TBT, we had John Mugar on earlier in the week, the CEO and founder of the basketball tournament. They'll be playing for $1 million, a prize of $1 million in Columbus, Ohio. And that action all starts on ESPN and that family of networks starting tomorrow. High school sports on the docket with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star in this segment. And Kyle, great to catch back up with you. You recently had the opportunity to catch up with the new commissioner of the IHSA and get maybe an update on where things stand with fall sports. And by all accounts, depending on what happens with the virus, I believe fall sports are moving forward in Indiana, although the season could look a lot different and could have some late unexpected changes as we get into things.
Yeah, good to talk with you, Matt. I think, you know, it's all sort of TBD, you know, as we move forward. But, you know, from talking to, excuse me, Paul Neidig, you know, it certainly sounds like, you know, they're going to look at it in basically kind of two-week increments and kind of move forward from there. And you know, the start of that is Monday, which is the start of facilities being open again. And, you know, I know each school kind of is going to be doing it a little bit differently, following many of the same guidelines. But, you know, whether there's temperature checks at the school or you're kind of self-checking at home, you know, those things will be in place and you know, social distancing and basically, you know, Monday, starting Monday for these 2 weeks, will, you know, kids will be in shorts and T-shirts and doing a lot of conditioning mostly. But at least it's a starting point, I think. And you know, I was kind of curious this week to see, you know, if the governor, what he would say, you know, and they kind of scaled it back to a 4.5 stage, as I'm sure you know and have talked about. But still, the, you know, the outset of high school sports is still in place. And I don't know what to expect, you know, as we move forward. I'm tired of trying to project, you know, what, you know, I would have never thought we'd be here on July 3rd, you know, still talking about, you know, not even thinking, you know, or possibly thinking it's not going to be open. But I think, you know, a good thing, you know, from talking to the IHSA commissioner, Paul Neidig, it's just that, you know, they're going to try to go about it and, you know, do it the right way and you know, and hopefully, you know, present some hope for these high school kids who, you know, are trying to come back and get sports underway. The most important thing is get school started, and then sports are kind of, you know, underneath that. But I think the plan is to go forward and you know, you can, you know, kind of, you know, look at it a lot of different ways. I know I do, but I'm hopeful that, you know, we're going to get it off the ground and move forward with high school sports.
And it also sounds like, just from a school perspective, academically, that according to Governor Holcomb and Dr. Box in their Wednesday press conference, which we covered here, carried here on the Big X this week, they say countries that closed schools did not see decreased amounts of COVID cases, and that they feel strongly they're going to try to open things back up as far as a school perspective. So
right.
I think that bodes well for athletics, because as you said, we forget this sometimes, and I don't always mention this when we're talking about sports coming back at the prep level, but, you know, high school's academics and school has to come back first. And it sounds like there's a big commitment in Indiana, although the schedules might look a lot different, although there could be changes once it starts and it could revert back to e-learning or whatever the case may be. It does seem like that commitment is there as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was one of the things that stuck out to me from Wednesday's press conference was Dr. Box saying, you know, bringing up the other countries, and they seem very forward. I thought that was probably going to be the case, but I was, you know, encouraged to hear her say that, is, you know, they feel strongly that schools need to be reopened and kids need to go back to school. And, you know, you obviously have the opportunity to do e-learning, or, you know, if you don't feel comfortable, there's some reason, you know, your son or daughter needs to not be there, you're going to have that opportunity. But I do feel like, you know, and it was just kind of reiterated when she said that on Wednesday, that, you know, they feel strongly that schools need to be reopened. I think we're seeing that kind of all over the country, kind of the same aligned thinking on that, whether it's, there's all kinds of different models of returning to school, but I think that's going to be an important piece for, you know, kind of the normalcy of kids being kids is getting back to school. So I was encouraged by that. Of course, you know, you always, you know, high school sports is what I cover, so you're always thinking from that mindset. But yeah, I mean, first of all, you have to get back to doing school, and then sports comes next. But I thought that was a good message, and I was glad to hear that.
Kyle, in the state of Michigan, the governor has strongly suggested to the Michigan High School Association that football be delayed until the fall, which I guess there are some sports across the country that do have spring football seasons, but that would be awful hard to accomplish, I would think. And I know it's been mentioned in Indiana by a few coaches, and maybe it's just some fans. I know that in Kentucky, I think there's been a little bit of a push for it, although I don't know that it's going to happen, or don't think it's going to happen. But did you see that about Michigan, and how hard would that be to pull off? Would that make any sense at all?
I don't think so. And you know, when we first started going through this and they were talking about spring football, you know, it does make sense, honestly. It really does, from a standpoint of, you know, move your, you know, some of your more non-contact sports to the fall. And I think that it does make a lot of sense from that standpoint. And maybe if you would have kind of been on this track 2 months ago and say, hey, this is what we're doing, we're moving baseball to the fall, football to the spring, you know, on and on. But I don't, to me, it for kids who are going to go play college football, unless college football moves to the spring, you know, at some point you're going to have kids playing a spring fall season for high school and college. And from a safety factor, from your body standpoint, from, you know, all those things, that doesn't seem healthy. You know, throw out the COVID situation. I mean, just playing two football seasons in a span of, you know, 6 months, that doesn't seem realistic to me. And plus the calendar of everything kind of gets all bungled up. Now, you know, if you're looking at it strictly from a COVID standpoint, then it does make sense. But, you know, I sort of feel, I've kind of come around to feeling like, you know, if you're going to do sports, you're going to do them. If you're not, you're not. That's kind of how I feel about it. And I know obviously there's some sports like tennis and golf where, you know, baseball, I think, is one of them. I think there are certain sports that kind of lend itself to you're socially distanced and, you know, not in a harm's way from a large standpoint. But, you know, we've even seen, you know, I just saw yesterday where the big Culver cross country race, Culver Academy, every year is called off, and that's late September. Now, in that situation, you had, you know, tons of schools there and people spending the night overnight, you know, those sorts of things. So, but even that, where you think cross country would be a sport where you could do, you know, they're having to cancel. So I almost think, like, you just need to keep the calendar what it is. If you ultimately can't play that sport, then you just can't play it. But I think moving to spring, just that opens up a whole another issue for football. And, you know, what are you going to do with kids? I mean, are you going to move baseball to the fall, or, you know, what do they do for those kids who play other sports if they do track and field in the spring normally? You know, it just, to me, opens up a lot of issues that, you know, could be, you know, could prop up again once we get to the spring. So I would prefer it to stay, you know, what it is. And if you can't play, then you just can't play.
You know, next week, Kyle, when high school workouts resume at many schools a couple days a week, I think athletes could be on campus for 15 hours a week maximum. High school coaches that really want to start getting ready for their season, whether it's the fall, winter, or beyond, instead of being able to do some of the things that they'd prefer to do, they're going to obviously have to scale that back. Most school systems are saying, we really don't want you playing games or even scrimmaging against each other. We want you to play, do social distance activities and things along that line. A lot of high school coaches, a lot of assistant coaches over the next month are going to be herding cats and constantly reminding young student athletes that are so used to socializing and touching and hugging and slapping hands and doing just natural things you do when you're a kid and natural things you do when you're around sports, even coaches, you know, moving in to discuss a play or calling a player off to the side to explain something to him or to encourage him, it's going to look a lot different. There's going to be a lot of reminders. Okay, hey, you can't do that. Hey, put space between you. Hey, we're too close. Hey, no huddles. Hey, after practice, you got to go. You can't stand around and talk about what you're going to do tonight or what, you know, whatever's going else is going on. It's going to be a lot different for coaches too, even starting next week in Indiana.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've seen this with, you know, my own son playing baseball, and it kind of starts out where you're really strict with it, and then, you know, things you kind of just forget. You kind of go back to normal, and you just kind of be – but I think at some point, you know, all those things, you need to keep precautions in place, but at some point, I think, too, you just kind of have to – you're going to have to get comfortable. If we're going to do sports, you kind of have to get comfortable with being, you know, playing sports. And you can't, you know, it sounds, and I, you know, from someone who's, you know, I ended up having COVID, and it's terrible. And, you know, you don't, it's different, and it's, you know, it's not good. Obviously I was lucky, you know, to come out of it. Oh, fine. But, you know, you don't want anybody to get it. But I think, you know, I just keep thinking, like, you can't, there's a lot of things about sports that, you know, you're not going to be able to change a whole, you have to get and go out there and play football at some point. You're going to have to, you know, if we're going to do it, then, you know, there's some things you're just going to have to be comfortable with. You know, kids are going to high five. I think, I mean, those are things that it's hard to see some of these things that are going to be in place that are going to stay in place. And I think after a few weeks, they'll probably, it's going to be hard to regulate every little thing like that. So, I mean, you're right. I think, especially at the beginning, coaches are going to have to set a standard of, this is what we can't do. And, you know, part of that, I think, is, I think the mask thing, and it's to me, it's not even political, but if you're inside and you can't socially distance, I mean, you should be wearing a mask. I don't think that's not a political statement. That's just, you know, the respiratory droplets and those sorts of things. We've seen, you know, the disease just spreads very quickly that way when you're inside, like basketball, volleyball, you know, and you're just going to have to be comfortable with doing that for a while. But other things like kids slapping high fives and doing that sort of, I think it's going to be tough. I mean, I'm not, and in the grand scheme of things, I'm not sure, you know, those sorts of things are going to be hard. It's going to be hard to regulate those things and make sure that's not happening. You know, and also kids, you know, they're going to be probably being together outside of practice and football and you know, getting together and doing things that, you know, you can only keep your eye on them so much, and then they're going to have their off time. And then what they're doing in that off time, you know, that could also be problematic in the grand scheme of things. So it's not only from a school and athletic standpoint, but what they're doing in their off time. And, you know, certainly not everybody is socially distancing and wearing masks when they're together in their off time. So it's just so, sometimes I just think it's just so complicated that how are we going to ever do this? But, you know, I think you have to be okay with saying, you know, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be different. There's maybe games canceled and there may, teams may have to completely shut down. I mean, there may be football programs that can't even finish the season. You know, we, that just may be what it is, and we have to be okay with that. And we, at the end of the day, it's just going to be, something totally different this fall, most likely, but at least getting back to doing some semblance of sports, I think will be a good thing.
Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, we just have a couple minutes left, but I want to switch gears and go to basketball. There are some, there have been some early AAU travel basketball games and scrimmages out there. A lot of the top players are already back out, back at it on the courts, and you've been able to catch up with some of those players, including Trey Kaufman. Tell us kind of generally what you've seen out there so far. Anybody stand out, and what did Trey have to say?
Yeah, I thought he looked really good. I covered him last Saturday out at the Grand Park playing for Indiana Elite. Thought he looked, you know, he said he wasn't in game shape, but you wouldn't never known it from watching those two games. I thought he, you know, looked like he's kept himself in really good condition and improved himself. And, you know, I thought, you know, I went, you know, kind of kept the stats and everything, and he got fouled. He took a ton of free throws, I think 23 free throws between the two games. And, you know, what was really hard to guard, and looked good, I thought. It makes you wonder, and just in the back of my head, I was thinking, you know, what if he was playing on the, in front of the coaches, what his offer list might look like. And it may not look a ton different, but it makes you wonder, you know, how many of the you know, high-profile schools would have offered him from elsewhere in the country. And I know Virginia has, but you wonder about others. But, yeah, he basically said, I thought it was interesting what he said about IU. He said, you know, that's a, the recruitment part is probably to an end at this point, because, and not the recruitment process, but the, you know, the fact that he kind of has all the information, you know, from IU. So I thought that was interesting. He kind of knows the players there. He feels good about that, I think. And I asked him about playing with Caleb Furst at Purdue, and he mentioned that as a possibility. So I think it's going to be ongoing, though. He wants to take his official visits is the impression I got.
Absolutely. Kyle, thank you. Have a great 4th of July. Appreciate you being with us. And that's going to wrap it up for today. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.